This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
2 days away from Texans training camp, some breaking news involving former Texans GM Brian Gain. He's going to get a new job with the Buffalo Bills, the team he came from before he went to the Texans. He's going to be a personnel advisor. He's going to help with the college and pro scouting. So Brian Gain, less than 2 months after being fired by Cal McNair, gets a new gig with the Buffalo Bills. And this begins the new line of speculation following Cal McNair ending his silence yesterday. Is Brian Gain going to speak, and what is he going to have to say? Because I'm going to say maybe, and I'm going to say he's not going to say a damn thing.
I think most guys who get that job don't even know that they get the job. You know, like who knew when Lipfert was hired here or Bazergan was hired here? Was there a press conference? Was there a press release? This is different, though. This is a general manager who just got fired after a year, 17 months, whatever it was. I think not just the media in Buffalo. I think national media is going to say, all right, we need to talk with your new personnel guy, whatever the official title, player, personnel director, whatever it is. I think we're going to hear from. I think we're going to hear from him. I think we're going to hear from Brian Gain, and it's going to be very interesting to hear and dissect, you know, his perspective on things.
We heard from Cal McNair yesterday. This is what Cal McNair had to say about the Texans organizational structure following the firing of Brian Gain.
Well, we've been really busy working on that this offseason. It's a flatter organization with a faster management style, Mark. The organization is totally re-energized with the team-based approach and new leadership based on sub-programs, with each sub-program being fully optimized as a goal. And I know it's a lot, but it's a lot of improvements, and we can't wait to get out of the office, back on the fields, and get back to winning football games.
All right, my thing is this. He said re-energized. So when you say re-energized, that insinuates that maybe there wasn't energy before. So that's my first takeaway. Second, he said a team approach. So that means that there's going to be not just one guy overseeing everything in Brian Gain. It's going to be more of a team approach and more opportunity for the guys that we've already mentioned to have, you know, opportunity to do things. It also sounds a little bit more permanent to me. It doesn't sound like something that's with how he laid it out. And you can make fun of the delivery of how he laid it out. I can understand there's a lot of people texting in. You say maybe the delivery wasn't as like.
Sounds like he's reading it or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, something
that's
like
fair,
that.
That's fair, and I got no problem with anyone saying that.
But it all seems permanent.
I know
it
he wanted to get
like
it right. Yeah, he wanted to get it right what the message was going to be. Look, this is by no stretch a press availability. You know, this was him with the Texans radio, you know, making his statement, making his first comments. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what they wanted to do. I think he still probably would need a press availability at some point and is going to be asked for that. Where for people like McClain and Berman and all the regular Joes out there like us to have that discussion with him. But I think in this case, he just wanted to deliver the message. Now, the message being, energy, re-energized. I think anytime there's a change like that, you're re-energized. We know that about in this building. In this room, we know about being re-energized, right? So I think any change just kind of does that. Whether that's not to say you didn't have energy before, but you're re-energized now, is my point.
I mean, anytime a significant changes are
right.
made, you get new energy.
Right. That's my point.
It's not a knock. It's not a knock on the changes, but anytime, like
exactly.
I mean, if I walk in and I see a new front desk person, then I get some new energy.
Exactly. So I wouldn't read too much into that. The structure is the story yesterday. There were a lot of things. You know, he talked about who they go to, and we're going to play it, who they go to sign free agents and make a trade and all that. But I think the structure of the organization is a question that I have, a question a lot of people have had. You know, who's going to do what? And he made it very clear. In layman's terms, I would just say it's a chef and a lot of line cooks that all have the same amount of validity in their voice, same amount of power, if you like to use that word. I think Bill O'Brien probably has a little more, and Jack Easterbrook probably has a little more. But from the perspective and the structure, it's Cal McNair and a bunch of folks that have the same amount of power.
You know where they have the best line cooks, right?
The best line cooks?
The best line cooks.
No, I don't. Where?
Taco Bell, baby.
Get out.
Taco Bell, baby. They pass down those nachos. The person squirts down the sour cream. You see them throw the tomatoes, the lettuce, all that on. Taco Bell's got line cooks. And you know what? Taco Bell, regardless of how you or anyone else feels, voted best Mexican restaurant in America. That's what I think of when I think of line cooks. Success, Taco Bell. That's my philosophy.
You are an embarrassment to humanity.
That's pretty harsh.
You have been an embarrassment to humanity.
Here's more from Cal McNair on who teams call to make a trade. Did he take a shot?
He's a loophole.
At the OG John Lopez.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I've heard on the radio where people are worried that how will people know who to contact to make a trade? I promise you, people will know who to contact to make a trade. It's not like there's thousands and thousands of people out there. There's 31 other clubs, 32 including us, and the guys know who to call. And they have in the past. They've called different folks in our organization. They'll continue to do that. Someone will get called if there's an interest. We'll handle that call. We'll have a meeting to talk about extensions. We'll get together as a group. We'll make a plan, and then we'll go execute the plan.
That always was silly that people acted like the – let's say that the Carolina Panthers wanted to make a trade, they wouldn't know who to call.
Yeah, can I have the person in charge of trades, please? No, I didn't mean it like that. It's like, who's the voice? And John McClain actually added on to it, and that's on sportsradio610.com. He just was talking about Bill O'Brien's going to be negotiating the trades. I'm like, what? Wait, what? What?
I just don't know that I believe that.
I don't know that I do.
I don't know that I believe that.
Like, but ultimately, he's going to have a say in it. And that's kind of where I was going and other people were going with this. Like, do I call? Like, they know people here. So they can call Bazergan or Easterby and say, hey, this is what I'm proposing. Let me get with the other guys and we'll talk about it.
Let me say why I'm a little bit skeptical about that. Because it is still mysterious. And Cal didn't specifically say who to call. So the reason that I'm a little bit skeptical about that is because the one reason that regardless of how you feel about an NFL head coach, we can all agree on, is that is a tedious job. You are always doing something if you're an NFL head coach. You're running practice. Mm-hmm. You're watching tape. You're staying and watching tape. Some of these coaches, including Bill O'Brien, sometimes they're getting there at 6 a.m. and they're leaving at 3 a.m. It is a very, very stressful job with a lot going on. I just think that it could be Matt Bazergan. It could be Jack Easterby. It could be someone else. But I just find it hard to believe that with all that going on, Bill O'Brien would have to be the guy to pick up the phone and talk to somebody about a trade. I just think that just seems like a lot for Bill O'Brien to take on.
You know, and we need to talk about it in the other direction as well. Because Bill O'Brien has always had a sounding board. You know, what happens when the Texans want to trade someone? You know, when you're going in the other direction. Like, what if Bill O'Brien says, man, this... you know, whatever, Brandon Fells or whomever, you know.
Darren Fells.
You know, this Darren Fells, I got to get rid of this cat. You know, or even a bigger name, you know, is there somebody there? Is it the group, you know, talking about, kind of talking him off the ledge? You know what I mean?
I would just imagine they would go to Bill O'Brien, but I just don't see him being the guy that answers the phone. But, you know, that Cal McNair says they do know, and I tend to side with him on that one. I think the OG was full of it when he threw that out there. Shout out to Cal McNair, one of my favorite loopholes. Cal McNair on signing free agents. There's a few in-season free agent moves the Texans made last year. They brought in DeAndre Carter. They made the trade for Demaryius Thomas. They signed some other guys. What's the process for that, Mr. McNair?
Totally. We'll get input from the scouts. They'll give their input, and they'll be evaluating all the available free agents and as the cuts come around and evaluating that pool of players, evaluate possible trades through the year. That'll funnel up through the coach. We'll get together with our group and make plans and try to improve our roster every which way we can, whenever and however is available.
And that's not too outrageous from what every other NFL team does anyway. It's just, you know, the general manager kind of is at the end of the table running the meeting, and that's going to be Bill O'Brien now more.
We talked about
a lot, but let me just stop real quick. I want to get your thoughts.
Go with it.
Because I mentioned it to McClain. I didn't get your thoughts. If we can, you know, it's kind of like that word problem you get at school. If this is true, then is this true? All right. If it is true that Bill O'Brien is negotiating trades now, as McClain intimated, and, you know, we would have to think logic says so as much, is it also true that he's going to be doing, even though Chris Olsen is the money man, that he's going to be kind of working on these deals with guys, maybe having the final say on deals?
It's too much, man.
It's a lot on his plate.
I mean, that just seems like too much. That seems like, and again, I don't even know that he was doing that before. So that just seems like a little too much for a head coach to take on. But a lot of people are saying there's more responsibility for B.O.B. We really don't know. We know about all these other guys. We don't exactly know, and we didn't really hear what B.O.B.'s role will be. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. We mentioned that former GM Brian Gain got a new job with the Buffalo Bills. He's going to be in their personnel department. Former Texans tight end Ryan Griffin also gets a job yesterday. He is going to sign with the New York Jets. He actually has an opportunity because they're starting tight end Chris Herndon. He's suspended for the first four games. So Griffin gets a shot to step in with the Jets and contribute immediately. And I got to tell you, this really bothers me when it pertains to Ryan Griffin. I'm tired of the narrative being put out there that Ryan Griffin got cut by the Texans because he got arrested. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. For a guy who was that good in the community for as long as he is, I think that's ridiculous. I don't like the way the headlines are being presented. I think even Aaron Wilson said Griffin was cut by the Houston Texans after he got arrested. They signed Darren Fells, a tight end, in the offseason before Ryan Griffin was released. Yeah, and then they drafted Kahale Waring.
Yeah.
He was arrested, and oh, by the way, his charges were dismissed. I don't like the way Ryan Griffin, a guy who did everything right in this community, is being presented through headlines. I really, really don't. It makes me uncomfortable. I can't stand it. It actually drives me kind of nuts.
I'm glad you brought it up. I can't stand it either. I've gotten to know him a little bit through some charity things that I do.
And what did the person that runs that charity say about Ryan Griffin?
Never seen him drink. Never seen him drink.
And
never
he was also anything, what? Reliable.
Never been anything. But yeah, never been anything but reliable and honest. Who knows what happened? And oh, by the way, in the weeks before, not just the weeks before this event happened,
we asked why was he still here? Why haven't
they
cut him yet?
We knew he was going to get traded. We knew he was going to get released. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, I agree with you. And by the way, good opportunity up there. Good opportunity with the Jets.
I wish him the very best. I just can't stand that type of headline. There's a lot of guys who deserve headlines like that. Mm-hmm. You know, his arrest even being mentioned. Not even to mention that the charge was dropped. Yeah. I mean, he got accused of punching a window. Okay? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the charge got dropped. Just cut it out with that headline pouring because it's really not necessary. I wish Ryan Griffin the very best, but I will say this. Please don't let him block for Sam Darnold if you want your quarterback to avoid right. being killed. Because it's one thing for Deshaun Watson. I got to be fair to
that
Ryan Griffin.
Said, yeah.
That said, Deshaun Watson was able to cheat death many times with Ryan Griffin blocking last year.
Yeah.
Don't do the same with Sam Darnold because I don't think he can quite get away like Deshaun Watson. Redskins left tackle Trent Williams. This is interesting because a lot of people think the Texans should make a trade for Trent Williams. He's not expected to report to training camp with the rest of his teammates. This according to Ian Rappaport. He didn't show up for minicamp either in June, and it could be quite a while before he's with the team. We know that a lot of it had to do with a lot of his beef with the Redskins organization had to do with a medical thing in yeah. which he was forced to get a lot of scalp injuries on his head. He felt he was misevaluated, and it could have cost him his life. But also, he apparently wants a new contract, and this could get ugly. This could be a very
long
holdout.
I think he's going to force a trade. I really do.
Well, if he does that,
I think he's going to force a trade.
If he does that, then the Texans need to make the call.
They absolutely need to make the call.
That's your starting left tackle right there.
Yeah, he's the best. Well, either depending on who you ask, the best or second best tackle in the game.
I saw something yesterday that was a little bit interesting, and I've heard Wade Smith say this is an ideal situation. No. Good Lord, John!
I'm just kidding.
Golly. I saw that Titus Howard could start at left guard.
Did you hear?
I saw this. So if you did bring in Trent Williams, Titus Howard could start at left guard. And Lyle Collins did the same thing with the Cowboys. He started out at guard.
No, a lot of
they
players
moved
have
him
done
to tackle.
It.
You have to have versatility.
Have to have versatility.
How do you feel about that? I thought Rankin was going to be the left guard. I thought he
was
going to beat
Quincy
out Kellen Mente.
What was talking about with the boys this morning? We'll play
I'm
some of that.
To know what.
We'll play some of that in the next hour. But Eric Winston, NFLPA rep and president, right? Talked about a couple of those things, but also talked about the Texans and basically said, I hope I'm not mischaracterizing it, but I believe I'm pretty close when I say, if you're starting two rookies, don't expect to win this year. That's interesting. or don't expect to win a lot this year. Something like that. So we'll play that for you at some point as well.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he had to say, but possibility of rookie Titus Howard starting at left guard was intriguing. I saw Aaron Wilson throw it out there. I saw Wade Smith. So keep an eye on that left tackle battle. You're going to have Julian Davenport and Matt Khalil most likely battling it out with a little bit of Titus Howard. But there's talk that Titus Howard, in order to make his progression smoother, could start at left guard. I don't know what that does for Rankin, you know, Brian Gaines, old guy. So we'll see. Astros A's game one last night. I told John Lopez there wouldn't be a sweep. He still wanted me to flirt with the possibility. They went into this game with a 6.5 game lead. They left with a 7.5 game lead. A total dominant performance by the Houston Astros. Starting in the second inning with Yordan Alvarez at the plate. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
As Yordan crushes one deep to right field. Gone! Air Yordan, number 11 on the season. And the Astros lead this game 1-0. We've got liftoff.
Astros score four runs in the second. They add seven in the third with Yuli Gurriel and Elidmys Diaz also homering. You notice that all three of those guys have something in common, correct?
Cubanos.
What does that mean?
Cubans.
You're correct. Yeah. You're 100% correct. A's benched their starters in the fifth inning. I thought that was a little bit
weird. Like a spring training game.
I was a little bit peewee. Altuve got pinch ran for as well after running out an infield single in which he looked faster than he ever has. Astros win 11-1. Wade Miley on the mound tonight. So the Houston Astros with a chance to not knock out the Oakland A's, but to distance themselves.
Pretty much knock them out.
If they win the next couple, then you got to think that the Astros are going to be running away with the AL West, which I already do think. We're 8 days away, however, from the trade deadline, which is what most Astros fans are keeping an eye on. By the way, I got to congratulate Gerrit Cole. 200 strikeout yesterday, early in the season. That's his second straight 200 strikeout season, both with the Astros. He only had one in 5 years with the Pirates. So Gerrit Cole is going to get paid. But we're talking about the trade deadline. Jeff Luhnow met with the media. He was talking about this team and whether or not they needed to make a move. And he said something that kind of made me raise the eyebrows a little bit.
We can win with this team the way it is today. Three pitchers, usually in a playoff series, you use three or four starters, but you can sometimes use three. And when you have Verlander and Cole, 1-2 punch, and then you have Miley, who's been pitching as well as he has, and then you've got, you know, the bullpen that we have, we can win a seven-game series against any playoff team.
I don't want to hear that, please. I mean, I don't care if you can or not. You still got to make your team better.
Don't worry.
I just don't like hearing it. You know I'm the podium critic. You know I freak out. I don't want to hear that.
You know who else said that? Those exact same words?
Jeff Luhnow.
No, Daryl Morey. And then what did he do?
We love our starting five.
Whoa, we've got our five. We got our six. Don't worry about a thing. Chris Paul's not going anywhere. Chris Paul's not going anywhere. Oh, by the way, we just traded him. Don't worry about a thing.
Okay.
They're going to trade for a starter.
Okay.
They're going to make it happen.
Okay.
It's going to happen by July 31st, which is what, next Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that?
I got you.
It's going to happen. Okay. Speaking of Air Yordan.
Okay.
Which, Todd Kellis, that took him by surprise right
there.
First
player in MLB history with 35 RBIs through 30 games.
Remember when...
He beat Pujols' record.
Remember when everybody thought...
he was good.
Nike was going to... plunge and crater when Zion Williamson had the famous flat tire on his Nike shoe.
Anyone who thought that is a weasel.
But people did.
And people are stupid sometimes.
Zion Williamson has signed a shoe deal.
Yeah.
You know with whom?
Yeah.
Jordan Brand.
Yeah, so Nike. Okay, that's Nike, okay? Let me just take notes, Zion Williamson and all you other young guys out there. A lot of the other shoe brands have upped their game recently and stepped up their basketball shoe game. But if you want to have a healthy career, Nike is the way to go. Ask Grant Hill and those Felas. Where the hell have those been since he started getting hurt, Figgy?
Mm-hmm.
Tim Duncan, by the way, we'll get out of here.
How about
on this.
That?
He's going to be an assistant coach for Greg Popovich.
I think that's awesome. It took me totally by surprise.
Didn't strike me as somebody who'd want to coach.
Right. I fancied Duncan as a guy that would just go back to the Caribbean and just sit on his gajillion dollars and chill.
Didn't strike me as a guy who wanted to coach.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if he tries to, like, elevate himself. But it's crazy.
I mean, he knows the fundamentals. We know that.
Well, he damn sure does. He can definitely teach some. It's just interesting in today's NBA who are you really even teaching? I mean, how many guys are, how many systems are really requiring guys to go on the block and work out like Timmy? But
well,
that'll be interesting
to
see.
I think his influence is not necessarily going to be just X's and O's.
Yeah. I get it. And then the Rockets also signed Ben McLemore, former number 7 overall pick of the Sacramento Kings. So just another project to add to Anthony Bennett, the number 1 overall pick a few years ago. So we'll see how that goes. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610, 2 days away from training camp. Cal McNair ended his silence yesterday. What do we know today that we didn't know 24 hours ago? We'll tell you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.